Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's very special edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We come live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host Fred Alvader, but this week, for the first time this year, we're going to have Kieran Clark back with us, and we're excited about it. So, Kieran, welcome back. How are you today?
Oh, thank you, Carlos. I'm very happy to be back as well. Very excited to be back on after a four-month break from the show. And obviously, at your WGC Cadillac Championship this week, one of the really big events of the first half of the season, really perhaps the kickstart of the season here. We have the top 50 players in the world all in the field here at Doral. You know, the Masters now is only a month away, so it's really exciting times.
And here it is, Fred Alvader, always with us every week. Fred, hi, how are you this week?
Carlos, I am great. I'm excited. We got the temperature here in Toledo above freezing today for the first time in about 4 weeks. And I think next week they're projecting the weather, the temperatures to get into the 50s, so I'm pretty excited about that. But, Carlos, I want to start the show tonight with a surefire golf tip for all golfaholics out there. And if you're going to plan a trip to Florida to play some golf during this cold spell, be sure and take a lot of golf balls. There's a lot of water on those golf courses. You can just ask Patrick Reed, Ian Poulter, Padraig Harrington, as well as Daniel Berger, the eventual runner-up to Padraig last week at the Honda. Balls were going in the water at a record pace, so much splashing going on. Ian Poulter dunked five balls alone on Sunday after a clean round of avoiding any bogeys on the third round. It was like high tide at PGA National. Well, anyhow, Carlos, I am excited to have Kieran Clark with us tonight. Let's go. I'm not hearing anything. Carlos, are you there?
No, Carlos is not there, Fred. Can you hear me?
I can. Are we still on the air? If we are still on the air,
yeah,
I'm going to
I think we are, certainly. Yeah. So we'll
I'm going to go right on into the first news item. And, Kieran, let's start the Par 5 news with presented by United Golf Network. You know, there was a lot of controversy over the weekend on Facebook with that dress controversy. You know, was it white and gold or was it blue and black? And oh, of course, we had that little Dan Olson thing there, that radio interview from East Lansing, Michigan, saying that Tiger might be on suspension. Tiger, you remember him?
No.
Do we have Carlos back now?
Yes, I'm here.
Nope. Oh, good, he's back. All right. Dan Olson is a journeyman. Yeah. Dan Olson is a journeyman professional and part-time caddy from Michigan. He had status on the PGA Tour in 2004. From 1989 to 2011, Olson entered 35 PGA Tour events. He had one top 25 finish and 22 missed cuts. He also had 70 starts on the Web.com Tour, with his best finish, a third, coming in 2005. So, not a common household name, to say the least. Well, last Friday, David Mad Dog DeMarco interviewed Olson on the 7:30 a.m. The Game, a sports talk radio station based in East Lansing. Olson went on a tirade about Woods playing an illegal golf ball with the knowledge of the PGA Tour. He also alleged that Woods was currently taking time away from the tour because he was on suspension by the tour for a failed drug test.
No.
Olson said on air, I've heard that Woods, is on a month-long suspension. He said the information came from exempt tour players. Olson said Woods did not test positive for testosterone, but for something else. He continued, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to surpass Lance Armstrong in infamy. You can imagine what a firestorm this created on Facebook and Twitter. Evidently, Olson has long been known for his proclivity to utter a quote and was Golf Writer's best friend. Golf Channel's Rex Hockert posted a top 10 list of Olson's best efforts. Among these highlights, the last time I signed my name was on a speeding ticket and my divorce papers. Now I'm signing 200 autographs a day and I'm starting to have flashbacks. Ask what would happen if he somehow won the PGA. I'd sober up just in time to enter the Masters. Well, anyhow, Tiger's agent, Mark Steinberg, took to the media and told Golf News Net, these claims are absolutely, unequivocally, and completely false. They are unsourced, unverified, and completely ridiculous. The PGA Tour has confirmed that there is no truth to these claims. The Tour followed up with a statement of their own. Regarding the allegations made by Dan Olson concerning Tiger Woods, there is no truth whatsoever. His claims and the PGA Tour categorically denies them. But, I mean, you know, the PGA Tour vehemently denies to comment on any disciplinary actions taken against any player. They would deny it regardless if it was true or false. In the interview, Olson went on to add, so that, combined with his enhancement issues, like having a Canadian blood-spinning doctor in his phone, you know, I mean, I think people are starting to openly call it what it is, which is going to be a problem for him. They're not going to remember the women, referring to the personal scandal Woods endured in 2009, which led to his divorce. The women are going to take a distant second place. You're going to talk about him with Lance Armstrong. And then he even went on to make comments about Nike and Rory McIlroy. He claimed Rory wanted out of his Nike contract if he couldn't have access to the same ball that Woods was using. He said PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Fincham personally visited Dustin Johnson's home twice in an effort to help the pro with his personal challenges before his six-month leave of absence from golf that ended in February, which Johnson has disputed, a Golf.com report saying he was suspended for the half year. Evidently, the heat got really warm for Mr. Olson because he has recanted his story this week. He told ESPN's Michael Collins, a former PGA Tour caddy, everything I said on that radio interview was only my opinion, not based on any firsthand knowledge or facts. I want to make full retraction to everything I said for the entire radio interview, and I apologize to Tiger, Nike, Commissioner Tim Fincham, and the PGA Tour. Yesterday, Ty Botal, the executive vice president of the PGA Tour, he denied the claims brought forth by Olson. There is no truth whatsoever to these claims, Botal said. We categorically deny these allegations. Sounds like they've circled up the horses and wagons. I certainly hope these are the ramblings of a jealous journeyman professional, but deep down, guys, a part of me knows some of this stuff may be true. This will only stir up the digging for more information. Someone knows what it is and what isn't true, and someday it's going to come out. I really don't want one of the three or four greatest golfers of all time to be stained with this type of scandal. I sincerely hope none of this is remotely correct.
Mm. Well, absolutely, Fred. But this raises one particular point I want to make, which is the PGA Tour itself obviously has never been very transparent at all when it comes to suspensions and disciplinary actions. And that, you know, lack of transparency, that secrecy leads to suspicion and rumors. And the conversation's a bit like this. So until the PGA Tour becomes more transparent and more open with information and its penalties, then there's going to be a lot of speculation about a lot of players, not just Tiger Woods. And moving on now to my item here on the Par 5 News, which is Greg Norman, who also had something to say about Tiger Woods last week, but in a more measured fashion. And Greg Norman, the former world number one, of course the man who Tiger Woods replaced as world number one back in 1997, was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal last week, and he covered, as he always does, a wide range of topics. One of which was his belief that many tour players of today do not have the same ambition to become the best player in the game. In other words, they are comfortable with being mediocre. He said, most tour pros don't really want to reach the top, not deep down, not in a sport where 20th place can now pay six figures. Certain players are happy just going through the motions. They don't want to be the leader. They would rather be a sheep. They enjoy greeting the field and getting fat and sassy. And it's fair to say, Fred and Carlos, as you guys will know, that this particular view isn't unique among players from bygone eras, from Greg Norman's era, and players even further back than that, who do view the players of today as being comparatively soft in their nature due to the high purses on offer. In the past, players had to be finishing the top five or even win tournaments just to break even on some events. Nowadays, obviously, you can make a fortune, millions of dollars, without actually winning a tournament on tour. However, it should be said that Greg Norman did have praise for two players of today in particular. Those two were Rory McIlroy and Jason Day. And on McIlroy, Norman said, of course, Norman Hill will be announcing his first US Open this year for Fox Sports in June. And on McIlroy, he said, Rory's got it. You can tell by his delivery when he talks to the media, he's a natural. He says what he feels, whether he's right or wrong. And if he's wrong, he will apologize, which most players out there won't. So Norman certainly respects McIlroy's candid nature when it comes to the media. And on Jason Day, his compatriot, the two-time Open champion, is unquestionably impressed by Jason Day's public statements of intent when it comes to his game and his ambitions. Norman said, to say he wants to be, to say he, meaning Jason Day, wants to be the best player in the world, that's a big statement to make, not only to, just to yourself, let alone publicly, because Jason Day obviously recently said that's his ambition to become the world number one in the near future. And last week, Norman also commented on Tiger Woods' recent travails. When appearing on NBC's Today Show, the 60-year-old was asked whether he thought we would ever see Tiger back to something like his dominant best. And Norman responded, well, quite honestly, I doubt it. I'm not confident, not the way he was from around 2000 or that, and that period. Now, you know, as you all know, that is hardly a groundbreaking part of analysis. You know, we all are really questionable whether Tiger will come back at all, let alone come back as a top player in the game. But while Norman did reference Tiger's physical problems that he's had down the years, he was more particularly concerned and colourful when describing the mental frailty that we have seen from the 14-time major champion in recent times. And on Tiger's mental struggles, Norman said, quite honestly, mentally, he's a little unravelled. Imagine with what we've seen since December last year with the short game chipping. You know, imagine standing over the back of a 12-green at Augusta National and you hit it over the back and you have to chip down there towards Rae's Creek. Or at the back of the 15th of Augusta National, all of those gremlins are going to be sitting in his head. And of course, with the Masters Tournament now just a month away, you know, the prospect of chipping around that golf course, Augusta National, probably the hardest golf course, biggest test in your short game in the world with tight lies and whatnot and fast greens, you know, the thought of chipping there must be a nightmare to Tiger Woods right now. And Carlos, it was also a nightmarish week for Rory McIlroy at the Honda Classic.
It was definitely a nightmare weekend for him, at least 2 days. But to your point that you were saying about Greg Norman, I have to say that it's true. I have to agree with him that it doesn't only adhere to the golf. You see it in basketball. Players no longer anymore they want the ball with 3 seconds to go to do the three to win. Here, players have the golf ball all the time. They want to have that 18th putt to win. But certainly, there is some truth to it. And Rory McIlroy has been one person that has also been a recipient of those kind of comments in the past about his emotions, about it, does he want to win enough? Does he have that killer instinct? Well, let's say this. World number one, Rory McIlroy, he gave himself 3 tournaments this year to get in optimum form for the Masters in April. But the first one, like you said, Kieran, ended in one big disappointment, like he missed a cut at the Honda Classic. He shot 73 and 74 in his 2 rounds on the champion course, leaving him 7 over par on Friday. That was well outside the cut line that at that time was going to be implemented after rain-delayed second rounds were to be completed on Saturday, and he wasn't happy about missing the cut. He said, and I quote, I'm pissed off. I don't like missing cuts. You don't want to be playing. You want to be playing on the weekend, and I'm not there. I'm not going to be playing this weekend, which is not nice. Wow. When you see that on video, you can really feel the emotion coming through, but not that much. But at least he showed some emotion finally without missing the cut. So that's a good start for him. You know, the Honda Classic is considered the start of the build-up that he wants to do to the Masters, and he's getting more attention than anybody else over the last 2 decades, with the exception, of course, of Tiger Woods. But he's right now number one in the world. He has already won this year, and the green jacket is all that's missing for him to become the sixth player with the career Grand Slam. A missed cut for the top player in the world is an embarrassment, but given the conditions, particularly the tricky winds, Rory did not seem overworldly concerned with his form, especially since he had not played since his win in Dubai on February 1st. He added that day, "I guess I don't feel like I control my ball flight well at all, which you need to in the wind. The last 3 weeks, I haven't really practiced in many crosswinds. I felt like I struggled in the crosswinds out there." At least he'll be guaranteed 4 more rounds this next weekend at the WGC Cadillac Championship down the coast at Trump Doral, which is limited field only to the world's top 50 players and guarantees every player 4 rounds since it doesn't have a cut. Not that anybody should be too concerned. After that tournament at Doral, Rory will have only the Arnold Palmer Invitational Bay Hill on March 19 to fine-tune his play before attempting to complete the career Grand Slam at the Masters. If there was any real self-criticism that he had for himself, it was that he focused it on his lack of aggression at the Honda Classic. So at least, Fred, after what we heard, he seems like he should be pumped up to try and avoid the waters at Doral and get back on track for that Augusta win. But right now, I believe you have something about the teenage phenom that is Lydia Ko.
Yeah, you guys have been talking about the men. We opened up the show talking about the PGA Tour and the men. You know, I like to talk about the ladies, guys. So, you know, Lydia Ko. Lydia Ko won her 10th professional title on Sunday at the New Zealand Women's Open. It was her second consecutive win after winning the Women's Australian Open the prior week at historic and difficult Royal Melbourne. This was the second time she has won the New Zealand Women's Open. She won it in 2013 at the age of 15 while still an amateur. Ko has won 6 LPGA Tour events, which is 2 more than both Lexi Thompson and Michelle Wee. Ko has now won 10 career professional events, and she is only 17 years old. G.I. Shin was 19 years old when she won 10. Nancy Lopez was 22. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy were 24 when they hit that mark, and Annika Sorenstam was 25 before she won 10. Ko is 8 years ahead of Annika Sorenstam. I mean, that's unbelievable. Ko has already won more than $2.4 million in just a little more than 1 year as a professional, plus the $1 million race to the CME Globe bonus last season. She's increasing her hold on the world number one spot and won't turn 18 until next month. She will be in the field this week for the HSBC Women's Champions from Singapore and will be looking for 3 in a row. Side note, she's paired with Lexi and Michelle the first couple rounds there in Singapore, so that ought to be good TV watching right there, so set your DVRs. In a classy move that reflects on her maturity and upbringing, after posing for pictures, meeting with media, and signing autographs after her win 2 weeks ago in the Women's Aussie Open, she entered the clubhouse to make a brief appearance at the Champions cocktail party. She quietly slipped an envelope containing $500 into the hands of assistant GM Andrea Watson to kickstart the staff's after party. It was the New Zealander's way of saying thanks to all those who helped make her triumph so memorable on one of her favorite courses. But they, you know, she said, the official said, you know, "I've worked in the golf industry for 40 years, and I've never heard of anything like that, especially from a 17-year-old. She's a class act. I can't say enough about her. She was very approachable to all our members and talked to them. She's just a great ambassador for the game and has a great appreciation of what make clubs and tournaments work. Yeah, Ko is a class act, but she is a babyface killer on the golf course. Watching her grow up and win is nearly as exciting as watching another teenager many years ago named Tiger Woods. Kieran, I think you're going to talk a little bit about the European Tour for us.
I certainly am, Fred, but first, Lydia Ko, and I agree with everything you said there. She's a remarkable individual, an incredible young woman, and as you say, on the golf course, that incredible talent and real kind of so focused and intense on the course, and off the course she has this very warm personality. You know, really a special talent and someone who is a real thrill to watch this year, and she can achieve so many great things in the next few years, and she already has achieved so much already at the age of 17. But yes, on the European Tour, had an event in South Africa, the Joburg Open, and it was won by Andy Sullivan, the 28-year-old Englishman, and he won for the second time in 2 months in South Africa. But not just that, he won for the second time in 2 months in Johannesburg. He won his maiden European Tour title back in January at the South African Open, also in Johannesburg, and he came back at the Joburg, just a few miles down the road from that course, and he triumphed with a 17 under par score. It was enough to see him win by 2 shots ahead of David Howell, Anthony Wall, Kevin Phelan, Wally Kotzia, and Jaco van Zyl. Found around a 66 from Sullivan. Tremendous. And it's a really impressive 12 months from Sullivan. After he got onto the European Tour at the start of last season, he had a second place finish in Morocco last March, and he's posted good finishes in China, the Netherlands, and of course he contended in major company, big names, at the Turkish Airlines Open a few months ago. And he carried that form into this year with these 2 victories, obviously. And the former Walker Cup player is now 7th on the Race to Dubai rankings, and he's now up to 58th in the official world golf rankings. So he's really now almost in the elite upper echelon of the game of golf. Real opens many doors into potential major championships and world golf championships if he can keep pushing that ranking up just a little bit higher in the coming weeks. And with that victory in South Africa, he can also now look forward to his Open Championship debut this year in July, with that victory securing a place into the Open at St Andrews, alongside David Hull and Anthony Wall, who also secured their places into the Open through the qualifying series. A terrific bonus for all three of those players, of course. Anyway, Andy Sullivan, gentlemen, he really impresses me in terms of his personality. He really enjoys himself on the golf course. He smiles an awful lot. And he's just quite a good positive character. And there's no question, I would say, that there'll be a big, big smile on his face as he prepares to tee off at the Old Course in just a few months' time.
Wow, that's a great story and great for Andy Sullivan. Look out for him very near future in the European Tour. And now, our final story of the Par 5 news. Which today we went to a bogey because we were on a Par 6. But we're going to talk about the International Federation of PGA Tours that announced that the WGC Match Play, you know, that tournament which features the top 64 players in the world rankings, will move to Austin, Texas in 2016 and will be played 2 weeks before next year's Masters. It would be the 6th course for the Match Play Championship since the WGC Series began in 1999. The tournament was held at La Costa through 2006. With 1 year at Metropolitan Golf Club in Melbourne, it moved to 2 courses at Dove Mountain north of Tucson, Arizona, until last year after Accenture declined to renew its title sponsorship. This year, it's moving temporarily to San Francisco TPC Harding Park course, and from its prior February spot on the schedule, it now moved this year to April 29th through May 3rd, 3 weeks after the Masters and a week before the Players' Championship. The event had been traditionally the match play slotted between the West Coast and the Florida Swings. You know, the West Coast Swing was already hurt by moving the match play as its anchor event, and like Jeff Shackelford said in his webpage this week, and I'm going to cite you, Jeff Shackelford was our guest last week, he said, but now the PGA Tour is going to move this to a March date situated between Bay Hill and the Shell Houston Open. This could hurt Bay Hill's field and makes clear the PGA Tour is far more excited about closing the deal on a new sponsor rather than being considerate of the ones that they already have. Because as much as we have love having match play, raining on Arnold Palmer's parade is in any way seems mightily rude, if not downright short-sighted. And I quote that from Jeff Shackelford, and I think he's right. They shouldn't do that. But anyway, no decision on a host course has been made for the March 23rd to 27th of next year, which would be the new date for the tournament. But it's rumored that Austin Country Club appears to be the one to sitting there to be the one to favorite to do it, since it's sitting once membership approval will give their vote. So that vote, according to sources familiar to the negotiations, apparently will happen soon. So the WGC Match Play will also have a new sponsor that's starting next year, and there will be Dell, which is a computer technology based in greater Austin area. The championship will be renamed also to WGC Dell Match Play. Their new sponsorship will be running through 2019. But the event's move to Austin is not the only new thing introduced this year. There's also a new round-robin format. So instead of that strict knockout format as in years past, the match play starting this year will feature 16 groups of 4 players based on seedings from the world rankings. Group matches on Wednesday through Friday will decide the best 16 players for that first knockout round on the Saturday morning, with the quarterfinals on Saturday afternoon, the semifinals and finals on Sunday. You know, that at least would ensure that the top players will make it until Friday. As you might remember, 2 years ago, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods were eliminated on Wednesday. So that would be good. Australian Jason Day is the defending champion this year after we all remember that final day in 23 holes over Victor Dubuisson. So looking forward to that change on the WGC match play. So, Fred, that wraps up our Par 5 news brought to us by United Golf Network. And I believe you have some words from our sponsor.
Yes, I do, Carlos. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. United Golf Network provides instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. Another free perk is membership to My Golf in U.S., which offers you discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And finally, For Sale by Owner allows you to sell used or new equipment and earn sales credits on every sale. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos. Back to you.
Remember that United Golf Network was created by entrepreneurs to give golfers the opportunity to play golf, make money, and enjoy life. And now we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have the main event for us, the practice range, and we're going to preview for you all the ins and outs of this weekend's WGC Cadillac Championship. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I, and now this week, Kieran Clark, will join us as we will take our swings on the practice range to a subject. Every week we picked, and this week is going to be the preview of the WGC Cadillac Championship, which is the first big event of the 2015 season. We're going to talk about the history of the tournament. We're going to give you a preview of the golf course. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to make some fantasy picks, break down the players, and we're going to ask Kieran why haven't the Europeans won on the PGA Tour this season yet. So, but let's start a little bit talking about this. The best players in the world are in Florida this week for the first WGC Championship event of 2015. Patrick Reed is the defending champion there at Doral. You know, since it was first hosted in 1999, Tiger Woods has won this event 7 times, most recently in 2013 when he finished 2 clear of Steve Stricker. But he's not playing this season, and he's dropped to 75th on the official world golf ranking. Only the top 50 will be playing. He's taking a break from competitive action as he struggles with injury and short game woes. Or if you believe Dan Olsen, then he's on suspension. But anyway, in last year's tournament, Patrick Reed held on to win by a shot from Bubba Watson and Jamie Donaldson. All 3 of those players will fancy their chances again this week. Well, they will be facing a stern opposition. It's a limited field this week. So, you know, 74 players, all 50 of the World Top 50 will tee it up. Originally, this course was designed by Dick Wilson. The TPC Blue Monster has played host to PGA Tour events for almost half a century. The Doral Open was contested over the layout between 1962 and 2006. The track was revamped by Gil Hans for last year's tournament, and it proved to be a significant challenge. The average score for that week was 73.852, not helped by an average of 76 on day 2, thanks to strong winds. So if you thought the PGA National was tough last week, which it was, wait until you see this newly designed TPC Blue Monster. Gone are those days where Tiger and Phil used to tear this place apart, both winning with scores of 19 under in their time around here. In short, this place is definitely a completely different course. Last year was the first WGC Cadillac, you know, featuring these new changes, and Patrick Reed's winning score of 4 under would say it all. Of those 18 holes, water is in play in 10 of them. Over 300 balls found a drink in 2014. That's nearly 100 balls more than any previous year. When you add this to the winning conditions always resting there, Doral, we've got a beast in our hands. So 4 of those holes from last year rank inside the top 30 hardest on the whole of the tour. Kieran, you're going to take the first shot here, but let me tell you, the weather forecast for this week looks more gentle. There might be some rain, but it should be generally warm with just light breezes, which is good for them. How about this tournament, Kieran?
Well, that's a very important point, Carlos, on the weather forecast. As you say, last year it was very breezy. Gale force winds on the Friday really put pressure on the players in the golf course, which had been changed. And last year we saw the golf course, the greens in particular, hadn't been really bedded in yet. They'd only been there for a few months, and consequently they were very firm. The course was very fast at the time. I think the greens were probably too fast. I think they set the course up incorrectly last year. And as a result, we saw so many balls going in the water in the respect that players were hitting the middle of the greens with their shots, and the balls are still rolling off from the centre of the green into the water, which is, quite frankly, a bit farcical. And I think the golf course did cross the line at times last year. We'll see whether a year since then, if the greens have been bedded in a bit more, aren't as quite as severe as they were last year. And obviously with the wind, it won't be as bad in that respect. And I certainly think we'll probably see the winning score are up around double figures under par. 10, 11 under are probably quite a good target to have this week. Not quite at the level as it used to be, but I think that's a realistic total without the wind being quite as severe as last year. And obviously for me, this event always represents the real start of this period, this run into the Masters. For these players here, many of them are the guys like Adam Scott are playing for the first time this season. He's potentially going to play with a short putter on Thursday, which will be really interesting to see whether he actually goes with that ahead of the anchoring ban coming into play at the start of next season. But also we have all the top players here, all top-ranked guys, and they're all in the same field here. And for me, this is their opportunity to test their game at this stage, a month ahead of the Masters. They can see here, get a fair reflection on how well they're playing compared to the other top players in the game. As you said, Carlos, top 50 in the world are in this field. It is a select field, very much like the Masters tournament. So it's almost like a decent warm-up in that respect. These guys here will be able to play. If they play well then, that's great. Keep that form ticking over to Augusta. If they haven't played that well this week and they maybe finish 30th, 40th then, they've got to make some improvements ahead of the Masters, which is only a matter of weeks away now. So it's always a fascinating event, the Cadillac Championship. And we talk about what does the World Golf Championship mean in terms of a player's career? And I always think that it means more for the players themselves than it does for the fans. For the fans, obviously, the majors are always the big thing and always will be. WGCs, yes, are slightly elevated from that in terms of the fans' view of them, But I think for the players in particular, winning a World Golf Championship is a massive achievement for an individual because, you know, they've beaten a top-class field, they've beaten the best players, they've proven to themselves that they can beat those players, and therefore it almost is a gateway, a progression into potentially becoming a major champion. And you look at the list of winners, all the World Golf Championships since they were brought in 16 years ago, and it is a stellar list. Generally speaking, you know, there's a lot of major champions in there, a lot of potential major champions in there, a lot of guys who have contended in many majors. So it almost seems like, you know, the World Golf Championship, if you can win one of those, that's your, you've passed that test inside yourself that you can potentially go on to become a major champion in future. The guys like Patrick Reed, obviously winning here last year, he really puts him on the world stage with that, the top five comment and all that kind of stuff, and he's backed that up this year, and I do think he could potentially defend his title this week. So, you know, I'll let Fred speak here, but, you know, this event is here. It's always fascinating to me. It's a big event in its own right, but for me right now, for the players here and for myself as an observer, this is me looking at these guys now. Who is getting into form for the Masters? Is it going to be Bubba Watson? Is it going to be Rory McIlroy? Can Phil roll back the years? Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, they're all there. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
Fred.
Thanks, Kieran. You guys both touched on a couple things here. You know, it is a big event. It's the first really big event of the year, and we are on the ramping up to the Masters. That's why, you know, we talked about last week coming out of the West Coast and moving into Florida for the Florida Swing. You know, all the big names are here. James Hahn withdrew today due to having his first child born on Sunday. He's going to stay at home this week. The only other big name that's not here is Tiger, who, as we all know, is not playing. You know, this purse is $9.25 million. So it's right up there with the PGA Championship, with the players, which are $10 million. And, you know, $1.57 million goes to the winner, along with 550 FedEx Cup points. And, as you guys mentioned, Patrick Reed is a defending champion. You know, the course, as I look at this, the main storylines for me is the field. And as you guys mentioned, it's the top 50 players in the official world golf ranking. It's the top 30 from the FedEx Cup points list, top 20 from the European Tour, the Race to Dubai, and then there's two each from the Asian, Japan, Australasia, and Sunshine Tour in the field. So very limited field, no cut. They all play 4 days. Then the second thing is the course. There's been a tournament played at Doral since way back in the 60s. The old, you know, it's just been around a long time. And it is one of those great courses, and everybody's seen it. You know, with the changes that Hans has done to it, it puts some bite back into it. And, you know, the Blue Monster number 18, and it's annually one of the most difficult closing holes on tour. It's 476 yards with water all down the left. It's just a bearable hole. There's no bailout even to the right. The Blue Monster course at the Trump National underwent, as I mentioned, the design last year. And as Carlos mentioned, it was the third most difficult course on tour for all of last year. In relation to par, it was plus 1.852. It was the hardest non-major. The only two courses that were more difficult was Pinehurst number 2, the side of the U.S. Open. That course was almost unplayable. And Augusta National, which is always one of the top courses. So the unusually high winds last year just created havoc. You know, that one par 3 green, they couldn't even keep balls on it. The wind kept blowing them off. I suspect that we'll see a little bit longer grass on that bank or on the edge of that green this year, so maybe at least some balls will hang up there and not get pushed down into the water. But it's just a difficult golf course, and so that always makes it interesting. But the field, the course, you know, and the big purse here, and in the ramp up to the Masters, that's what makes this for me, guys.
It's a very, very difficult course, like you were saying. And last year, definitely most of these players had trouble, like you mentioned, with the water. But one very important thing that they all will be looking forward to is scrambling, getting up and down, like all those missed shots. So missing the green is going to be very key. But now let's move a little bit, moving towards who do we expect would be our picks We're going to pick one European guy, one veteran guy, one young guy, and your top choice, each of us. So, Fred, we're going to take the first crack at this pick, fantasy picks. Who should be your top European, your top veteran, your top young guy, and your top choice to win?
You're gonna make me go first. You're gonna make me put this out there.
Yes.
I hate to do this. I can't limit to one guy.
I can't be first. You know why? Because the second mouse is always the one that gets the sheep.
I know
so
exactly.
Okay,
so. Yeah, I'm gonna stick my head right in the trap. You know, I can't limit to one. I under European guys, here's what I have. Okay, I got Justin Rose, Luke Donald, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, Martin Keimer, Paul Casey, and then guess who? Sergio. And there's also another guy in there, I think, by the name of Rory McIlroy, who just happens to be number one in the world. So, you know, I know he missed the cut. Yeah, he missed the cut last week. He said he was pissed. You know, I got to think he's going to be coming back with a vengeance. It's hard to bet against Rory, but if I have to pick one from this group, okay, if I got to say one name, we haven't heard anything out of Justin Rose lately, and I think it's time Justin Rose popped up, and he has done well here in the past. I think this would be a good week for Justin Rose if I have to hang my hat on one European guy.
Okay, and then who would be your top veteran for this? Let's do this. Let's move on to Kieran. Kieran, who should be your top European? Just please something, because he just mentioned all the European players on the roster there. So pick less than him, please.
Well, I think Fred picked every player in the field there almost.
Right.
I will limit it to one player, and I'm going to go with Jamie Donaldson.
No,
who finished tied for second here last year, as you mentioned, Carlos, earlier on. And he also played well last week at the Honda. He finished sixth at PGA Nationals. He's coming this week in very good form. The Honda, you know, in many ways, similar golf course, lots of water in play, and obviously windy conditions last week, of course, so it was a difficult test. I think Donaldson's a player who I rate very highly. He's very consistent, very solid. And will he win the thing? Well, maybe not, but I do think he'll be up there at some point in the week contending. So he's my pick as potentially a European winner. Certainly an outside bet, but I'm going to go with Jamie Donaldson.
Ah, what can I say now?
That's who you're going to pick, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
See, that's what you get. You should have gone first.
See, I should have said it. Oh, man. I'll say Sergio. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We were counting on you picking
anyway.
Sergio.
Anyway, no, really, my pick was going to be Jamie Donaldson. You know, it's really weird to think that, but he has been somebody that's been, you know, he's been climbing up the ranks. And definitely, if you saw him last year at the end in there, he won his third European title, finished fourth in the race to the Dubai standings. He grabbed that spot in the Ryder Cup. And not only that, but he won the Cup hitting the shot of the year. So majors last year, too, he was T14 at the Masters, T24 PGA, where his second and third best ever finishes in the Big Four. And last year, he finished second. So he comes also from a T19 at the Farmers Insurance, sixth last weekend. So definitely the Welshman is the one that I think is as good as anyone to win this in this moment. So that's my top European guy. So, Fred, how about veterans? But we have to see. There are not many veterans, so I hope you don't pick all five of them.
Well, I do have them, actually. I'll break them down here. You know, I have Jimmy Furyk, but I really think this is too big of a ballpark for him. With the soft conditions, if the ground was hard and firm, you know, yeah, he'd have a chance. But I don't think he can be among the leaders if it's soft there in Miami this week. Billy Haas, you know what? This is the kind of golf course he could play well on if he's putting good this week. Hunter Mahan, a guy we haven't heard anything out of yet this year. Well, I guess we did earlier. I guess he won it on Hilton Head. Matt Kuchar, and then of course you got Bubba. You know, Bubba was runner-up here. Bubba's been runner-up two of the last 3 years here. You wouldn't think that, but he plays this place pretty well. So I'm going to narrow that down, and I'm going to hang my hat with Kuchar.
All right. It's a good pick. So, Kieran, Don't pick mine. Go ahead.
Well, I've got a different definition of veteran than Fred has, clearly. So I'm going to go with guys who are aged over 40. And,
That's way past veteran.
Yeah,
that's like one step away from senior tour.
To be fair, Fred, guys who are 35, they're like kids to you. So I don't know how you can call them veterans, but.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so I had two guys in my head, Phil Mickelson, who played okay last week, and Lee Westwood. You know what? I'm going to go with Lee Westwood. He's had a very solid start to the season, a couple of top tens in Europe. He won in Thailand, I believe, as well. So, and he played okay last week at PGA National. So Lee Westwood, he's played not too bad at Cadillac before, and he's a solid ball striker. I know he hits the ball a long way, which is big in this golf course, 7,500 yards. So Westwood, you may not win, but I think you'll be the best showing of the 40-plus guys this week.
All right. So you thank you. You picked that one. I'm going to pick Phil Mickelson. You know, even though this is a very, very different – I was scared when you said Phil Mickelson, but anyway, you picked the other one. So, yeah, Phil Mickelson is my pick.
Carlos, great minds think alike. That's what it is here, yeah. Great minds.
Is this the same? Is this the same Phil Mickelson that only had one top ten last year and still doesn't have one yet?
No, but you know he showed up at PGA National last week.
He fell back down.
Yeah, but this is a course that even though it's not the same that he used to tear apart, I think he's getting back into this swing of things. Nobody's expecting anything from him. You know, before last week he only had $150,000 all year long. So, you know, I think he always starts picking up to the Masters, and this is a very good course for him to start swinging it again. And I think that, you know, he might get back to those old days. He's not going to shoot, you know, 19 under again, but he'll be there, and I think he's my top veteran for this weekend. So, top young guy, Fred.
I wrote down three young guys here, Brooks Koepka, Hideki Matsuyama, and Ricky Fowler. I still consider Ricky a young guy. I think he's 25 now. So, and my choice of those is Brooks Koepka. He's a South Florida. He lives down in South Florida. He had the win in Phoenix earlier this year. He's not intimidated. He'll come out firing. He's aggressive. I can see him doing pretty well on this golf course. I like Brooks Koepka this week.
All right. That's a very good pick. And Kieran, who's your top young guy?
Well, for once, I'm going to have to agree with Fred here. Brooks Koepka is a guy on my list as well for the top young guys, a player I rate very highly. I think he's a star in the making, and he might move up a level this week and win a World Golf Championship.
All right. I'm just because you all said Brooks Koepka, I'm going to pick somebody else. But I have to go with Hideki Matsuyama. How am I going to forget my guy from Japan? You know, he has been in great form over the past few months, and he has four top four finishes already on the PGA Tour this year, and he's among the top players right now on strokes gained. So Hideki Matsuyama, he's my top young guy. And, hey, and look out for yards and speed. So, but I have to go with Hideki Matsuyama. One more fantasy pick. Who is your top choice, Fred?
Someone, you know, here are my list. You know, I got Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Justin Rose, and Adam Scott. And, you know, we haven't really talked about Scott and really about Reed that much except for the fact that he's the defending champion. And, you know, of those, I like Jason Day this week. I think it's, you know, been long enough since the Farmers. I think it's maybe time for him to win again. And I think this could be a good golf course for him. He's long enough. He's aggressive enough. You know, if he can get off to a decent start earlier in the week and get some putts to fall in, I like Jason Day.
All right. He's a big-time player. So, Kieran, what's your pick, your top choice?
Well, I also like Jason Day and think he could win this week, but I'm going to go with Bubba Watson, twice runner-up in this event, including last year. And for him, you know, Bubba's gearing up for the Masters, obviously defensive, his green jacket in April. And he's been very consistent this year, finished tied for second in Phoenix, had top tens at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. He played okay at Northern Trust. I think Bubba is just very consistent right now. I think he's a more level player than he has been for a long time, maybe ever. And, you know, I think Bubba might pick up a World Golf Championship on Sunday. I would not be surprised if he did. He's my top pick.
Well, I'm going to keep the same trend. I like also Jason Day, but I'm going to pick somebody from right field, left field, from wherever I sit, from the clouds. Nobody's going to expect this pick. Okay? No, it's not Sergio.
Sergio.
Not Sergio. No, Sergio.
Please,
sorry.
Not Sergio. Come on.
Sergio, sorry. It's not you. No. It's the guy that, you know, Fred would like to be right now. You know, he's talked about him a lot. You know, he's Wayne Gretzky's son-in-law. You know, Dustin Johnson. You know,
he's been playing well.
This miscut at the PGA National, to me, was just a blip on his return to form. You know, he had top four finishes prior to that. He was almost wins. And he was also tied for fourth in this event last year. And he's really, really playing very, very good. I think that he's peaking at the right time. And he's in the right state of mind. And this is the kind of place that he could flourish. And I think that Dustin Johnson going to do very good. That's my top choice for this week.
Nobody picked Rory. What is he? You know what? I can't believe it.
He's waiting.
Career's over, Fred.
He's on the downhill slide. It's over. It's over for the boy.
That's it. He's done. He's going to win a Tiger.
He had his run.
Yeah. It was good while it lasted. It was good while it lasted.
Miss one cut and you're out of here.
Yep.
That's it. Your career's over. One cut and that's it. You're done.
Hey, you know, he's almost there. Tiger Woods has missed 12 in his career, and he's missed 11. So, you know, he's almost there. He's almost done. One more, he's done. So, one more question left for you guys. And I'm going to start with you this time, Kieran. Why haven't any Europeans won on the PGA Tour yet this season?
Well, you can't say that now, Carlos. They won last week.
Well, apart from Harrington yesterday, Park Harrington won yesterday at the Honda Classic. So I think we're counting him as a European. But generally speaking, I think quite simply, it's because most of the European guys, the top guys, haven't played on the PGA Tour so far this season, apart from obviously a couple at the Phoenix and a couple at the AT&T. We had Rory last week, obviously. But really, you know, Rory, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, you know, the top European guys haven't played that much in the PGA Tour so far. And even despite that, we've had Paul Casey in a playoff at the Northern Trust, obviously. So the European guys are doing okay. And obviously Harrington winning yesterday was a fantastic story after 7 years of a victory on the PGA Tour, or even European Tour since he's winning at the PGA Championship. So to have Harrington back was fantastic. It was a very dramatic final round yesterday at the Honda. But European guys, you know, they'll do fine this year. But as I say, the only reason for this to me is because most of them haven't played regularly on the PGA Tour so far, but that's about to change in the coming weeks.
Fred, what's your take on why they haven't won more then?
I'm 100% with Kieran on this. They play so late in the year over there on the race to Dubai. They jump in there and get those last four tournaments for that extra bonus money, and then they play – some guys playing the Sunshine Tours for some big appearance fees down there in South Africa. I mean, they play right up to Christmas time. So they take January, February off, you know, and play a light schedule. But you know what? I was so happy to see Padraig Harrington win the Honda on Sunday, or actually on Monday. And I got to watch. I was working here in my office, had the TV on, watching that, doing some tweeting, and you know what? That was really good stuff. I was just glued to it. Congratulations to Padraig Harrington. I think the Europeans are going to do fine. I mean, you look at these names. My God, Justin Rose, Luke Donald. Luke Donald's playing better this year. I look for him to be a contender. He could be a contender this week at Doral, and for sure next week at Valspar up there at Innisbrook. You know, Westwood, Poulter, Rory, Keimer, Casey's playing better this year. And you still got Sergio's who's having a really good start to the year. So, I mean, that's a strong bunch, and those guys are going to be factors in the majors and the big tournaments the rest of the year.
So that wraps up the practice range, our preview of all the ins and outs of the WGC Cadillac. Well, we have 5 minutes left, guys, so let's do our final putts. And Fred, I believe you have something to talk about in your final part. So, what is it all about?
Yeah, I got a couple issues here. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures that were posted on Facebook and Twitter with the caddies forced to weather that hurricane-like storm, wind and rain at the Honda Classic last week in that little rudimentary metal shed while the players and members relaxed in luxury in the clubhouse. The PGA Tour does not seem to be taking that $50 million caddy lawsuit too seriously. I don't know when they're going to get the idea that, you know, caddies are not second-class citizens on the tour. And by the way, I saw a thing today that Stevie Williams is joining the lawsuit on the caddy side. So, you know, when Stevie gets involved, that throws a little weight into the game too. And then my second item here, real quick, Mickelson committed to the Barrel or Texas Open. He almost always plays in Houston the week before the Masters. As we mentioned, he hasn't had a top 10, you know, in four starts this year. He only had one top 10 all last year. He did end up finishing T17 and had a poor round the last round. But, you know, that's so, yeah, Phil's going to play down in San Antonio and probably will play in Houston. So we're going to get – I don't think he usually plays in the Palmers, so he'll probably take off after this week and then head to Texas.
So, Kieran, which are your final putts for this week?
Yeah, well, obviously last year was a momentous year for the McGinley family with Paul captaining Europe to yet another victory, dare I say, in the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles. But 2015 has started off promising for the McGinley family as well. Michael McGinley, Paul's brother who lives in Dubai, achieved an astonishing feat of 3 holes-in-1 over a 6-day period back in February. The first came on Thursday, February 12th, with 4-iron on the fourth hole, of the Jumeirah Golf Estates Earth Course, where they played the Dubai Championship in November. And this was followed on the Friday the 13th, unlucky for some, not for him obviously, on the fifth hole of his home course, Dubai Creek. And then the following Tuesday, the 17th, he had another hole-in-one with a 9-iron on the eighth hole. Just truly extraordinary stuff. And you know, gentlemen, I've heard of someone actually having 2 holes-in-1 in one round, but 3 over a 6-day period is just extraordinary. And you know, to be honest with you, he really should have tried walking on water after this, because there was something divine going on, surely, for that sort of thing to happen. And my second item here is on Vijay Singh, of course, his ongoing lawsuit against the PGA Tour. It's still grabbing headlines, and according to documents made public last week, Singh has deposed 2 Champions Tour players, including the former Open champion Mark Calcavecchia. Calcavecchia was sponsored by the Dear Antlers spray, which of course Singh had admitted using, which is illegal, contained the banned substance IGF-1. And Calcavecchia was previously sponsored by them, and the tour told him to stop using it 4 years ago. So Singh has got 13 witnesses up for his trial, including Calcavecchia, 6 PGA Tour representatives, and 3 guys from the World Doping Agency. The PGA Tour have tried to block him from adding more witnesses to the list. He hoped to add 9 further players from the Champions Tour, so it's really contentious, obviously. But Vijay thinks he's got a good chance of winning this case against the PGA Tour, and it's going to be very fascinating, I think, to see how this continues. The wrangling continues here, and it'll be certainly fascinating to follow the future developments in this case, which is a really big one.
And I have a final putt here about, you know, a window has closed for golf fans hoping to watch the first U.S. Open in the Pacific Northwest. The USGA announced yesterday that the tickets for the championship, which is scheduled for June 18th to the 21st at Chambers Bay Golf Course near Tacoma in Washington, are sold out. This is the 28th sellout in a row for the U.S. Open. Some tickets are still available to attend the practice rounds, so get in quickly. The USGA made that in their release yesterday, and they also announced the local qualifying sites for the 2015 U.S. Open Championship. Local qualifying will be conducted over 18 holes at 111 sites in 43 states. Will take place between May 4 and 21st, and any golfer with a 1.4 handicap index can attempt to qualify, so no one here in the show can try to qualify. So that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us the past hour. Special thanks once again to Kieran Clark for being back with us. always a great pleasure, great insight. We always have great fun with you, so thank you for being with us. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show on Twitter. Our ID is at Back9Report. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader and Kieran Clark. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.